Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is 8 o'clock. It's Thursday night. This is LA Talk Radio, and you're listening to The Writer's Block. I am Jim Christina, and I'm here with Bobby Bell. Sitting across from me, the lovely Bobby Bell. And this has been a crappy week.
Oh, no.
I swear to you, as God is my witness, my sinuses and my nose have been so clogged up, I feel like a Neanderthal mouth breather. It's just, oh, my God, it is horrid. I think I own stock in what's that, Afrin?
But you sound perfect.
Well, thank you, but I don't feel perfect. it's just one of those things that.
Oh.
And we were talking tonight before I came out, and my wife Jerry said that she's going to try to get me a list of names and go through the list with me because she's so confused.
Oh,
the guest coming up. In fact,
up.
We went through some of them, and she kept telling me, no, tonight is Ed Erdelak. I said, no, tonight is John Bergstrom. Spoiler alert. Anyway, what you got going, Bobby? Oh, I listened to part of your show today. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we had fun this morning with our guests on Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy radio network. That was a lot of fun. But we always look forward to – I look forward to Thursdays, morning radio, nighttime radio, and a little time at home to work on website stuff in the afternoon. And so Thursday is my favorite day of the week.
There you go. Well, I want to tell you that – The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing and Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall, California. And if you want to call in and talk to John, talk to Bobby, talk to Jim, talk to John's wife is sitting over here in the corner.
We can get Diane to a microphone
absolutely,
real fast.
Absolutely, real quick. The number here is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. 4929. I had a brief brain fart there.
I still have to look at it because I don't call it. You know, if you don't call the number, you don't remember it.
There you go. Anyway, let's give them a little of this.
Dust fills my nostrils, the ride shakes my bones. Teams pulling westward, heading for home. Miles of open country through cactus and sage, connecting towns throughout the west on the Butterfield stage. 3 weeks till I'm home on that broad Pacific shore. My body's fully shaken, the food's mighty poor. Load up in St. Louis, we're El Paso bound. Then on to San Francisco, where my sweetheart is found. Dust fills my nostrils, the ride shakes my bones.
So, Bobby, tell us who that stranger's voice is.
Oh, you know, Jim, when you conceived the idea of the Writer's Block, and we talked about potential guests, and you and I both agreed that we needed to have a platform to celebrate every type of written word,
absolutely,
including songwriting, which
absolutely
eventually is sung. And so tonight we are so pleased to have with us our first songwriter here for the Writer's Block, and that is who you just heard, John Bergstrom. And what you're listening to is an original song of John's, Butterfield Stage, from the same CD of the same title. And I'm delighted to just tell you a little bit about him. He's a performer of both traditional and original music from and about the West. And since joining the Western Music Association, he has released 4 CDs of mostly original material, and he's working on a new one, and I'm hoping he'll tell us about that tonight. He enjoys performing at intimate venues like coffee shops and small theaters, as well as festivals, cowboy gatherings, and even on radio shows. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe our first songwriter guest, Los Angeles-based musician and performer John Bergstrom. Hey, John.
Welcome, John.
How are we doing, guys?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's a beautiful evening. The sun is going down. I'm looking out the window at this beautiful sunset.
Beautiful downtown
Sherman Oaks. Exactly.
This time of night, it is.
Yeah. No, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's even better as it gets darker.
I won't go there.
So, John, tell us a little bit about this song that we just had a little sneak listen to. Tell us about Butterfield Stage.
Well, the Butterfield Stage celebrates one of the fundamental events in the Western expansion. At one time, the only way to get to the West Coast was by wagon train along the Oregon Trail, another song that people can buy out there of mine. But when in 1857, John Butterfield got a contract from the government to haul mail and freight from St. Louis to San Francisco. And those of your listeners who are familiar with the land acquisition by the United States, the Gadsden Purchase,
mm-hmm.
that piece of ground was purchased specifically for a railroad and stagecoach route. So they would go from St. Louis to El Paso and then due west across the desert to get to the West Coast and then go north to San Francisco. And it was 25 days only, nonstop. The fare was $200 at a time when people were paying 2 cents for a loaf of bread. It was $200 to take the stagecoach. And the Butterfield Stage line existed until the start of the Civil War, which is only then 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a landmark in Western culture, Western movies, stagecoaches.
So, didn't Wells Fargo snatch him up eventually?
Yeah.
Bought their routes and bought their coaches.
Wells Fargo did, and there was kind of a split in the company, and it became also an adjunct to the company that became American Express.
Oh, yeah. I think I knew that. Of course, maybe not.
Interesting stuff. Well, and if you didn't know it, you know.
I know it now.
There you go. So the song comes from, a celebration of the experience that was so rough for those people.
But it was certainly the fastest way to do it.
It was the fastest way to get there, yeah.
Yeah.
If you had business in San Francisco, you could get there in under a month.
Which is terrific.
At that time.
Right. Until the train came in.
Right. You know, and that's a whole other speech.
That's So let's talk a little bit about songwriting and music, musicality, because I am one. Did you ever take guitar lessons?
Sorta.
I took one. Learned how to play a D chord.
I think I took two, except I picked the brains of many, many friends.
That's what I did.
And When I was young, I took piano lessons.
Oh, wow.
For 4 years. When I was in elementary school, I was the worst of 4 piano players, so I became a bass player.
Because did that too.
Because I could read bass clef. And so I played bass, and my brother and I had an act for a few years, and then he went off into the Navy. And there aren't a whole lot of solo bass gigs.
No.
There actually are some out there, but not a whole lot. So I started playing guitar.
Good choice.
And then picked up mandolin mm-hmm. a few years later. And so I took mandolin lessons.
You did? Well, you kind of have to almost.
I went to Tom Corbett and made an investment in my musical development. And Tom's a great, great, great guy and a great teacher. Tom plays on 3 of my 5 CDs.
Cool.
So he's a good guy.
Now, inspirations for songs. Obviously, Butterfield Stage was one. Do you pull your inspiration from real life events, historical events?
A lot of the time. If you look at the subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Take the back of my CD and see the topics. You see a lot of historical stuff. But also there's some stuff that are that is designed to fit a certain need. I wrote a song called Friends Forever about the relationship of a young person with a horse. And I wrote that for an organization in Santa Clarita that deals with equine therapy. And I wrote the song for that group. So it was once in a while I'll do one to order, not too often though. But most of my music is inspired by real events and real people, and reality is really interesting.
It is. Years and years ago, I had a friend that was the high priestess of Wicca for Southern California, and she challenged me to write a song about her. So I did, and I called it Broomsticks Were Meant to Fly. So she was a witch. What can I say?
Yeah.
I hate to have to explain jokes.
Yeah. No, I like the concept.
It's actually a pretty cool song, too.
I could see something happening with that.
There you go.
I don't know what it would be.
How about we listen to a little Ghosts and Legends?
There you go.
Is empty, the bottles are gone. Dance hall girls and gamblers have reached the great beyond. The piano in the corner has played its last refrain. The ghosts and the legends are all that remain. Wind shakes the windows, still holding glass. Clouds send reminders of cold winters past. Old timers tell stories of the heroes and the pain. The ghosts and the legends are all that remain.
This song gives me goosebumps.
I'm glad to hear that.
It really does. I love this tune.
Oh, thank you. It's my ghost town song.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost towns are one of the great icons of the West. Stagecoaches, Stetson hats, boots, anything for sale out West.
Boutique and cultural center.
There we go. Yeah, very good. Icons of the West.
Mm-hmm.
And ghost towns. My favorite ghost town is Bodie.
Love it.
It's a neat place. As long as you don't mind your undercarriage being beat to death with pebbles, it's a great place to go.
Yeah, I did a 3-day horseback ride from Bishop to Bodie. It was an interesting trip.
Was that day's ride?
No, it was 3 days.
Okay. Well, he does know. I think it's 2 nights.
Equestrian group, ETI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people make that ride into Bodie because it's so picturesque.
Oh, it makes you just takes you back into the 1870s. It's just great. It's good stuff.
What's interesting too, it takes you back into the 1930s because that's when that's about when the town was officially considered abandoned.
Right. 1930. Yeah, that's about right. That's when the gold ran out and the ore ran out and
copper
the people ran out.
And the people ran out. All that good stuff. It's interesting stuff.
I'm with you on the ghost towns. I think ghost towns are just, I mean, they hold so much. There's so much spirit in them that it's just there.
If you walk through a ghost town, if you walk through Tombstone, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
which isn't a ghost town.
No.
But it's the same effect. You walk through Tombstone at dusk.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's,
you're not alone.
No. It's an interesting place. It's Tombstone, my wife and I did a ghost tour there with Terry Ike Clanton, one November. It was an interesting evening, to say the least. But we captured something in Shefflin Hall. That's a big place inside.
Oh, Shefflin Hall. It is a very cool place.
It is very cool.
It's a great
big Adobe buildings. Mm-hmm. It's all Adobe.
Right.
It's a neat room.
It is. Right. It's great. And the acoustics are phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Can I ask John the question?
Sure.
Okay.
Jump right in, buddy.
Don't guarantee I'll answer.
Based on the couple of pieces that we've listened to so far and talking with you a little bit, obviously you have a love for the West. And you're writing Western music. Can you tell us a little bit about just even what is Western music?
There's so many ways to answer that question. The easiest one is Mike Fleming's statement that in country, you lose your truck or your wife.
Or your dog.
Or your dog. We're all three.
In Western, you lose your horse or your life.
There you go. It's good. It's a good analogy.
And that's one way to cover it. Western is a celebration of the life and the culture of all things Western. Keep in mind, in 1620, Massachusetts was the Far West.
Right.
So that whole Western thing is all over the country, and the expansion culture. Mm-hmm. And a love for the land, an appreciation of friends, an appreciation of community. All of this, with a horse, and it's a couple of cattle.
There you go.
And you got the West.
That's what everybody's vision is.
Yeah.
You mentioned going to Bodie, and you talked about great history on the Butterfield stage. How do you do the research behind what you write?
If I hadn't bought a computer way back up the road, I would have to spend my life in the library. But thanks to the computer, my first place to go is Google, and start punching in possible ideas for subject matter, mm-hmm. and see what comes up. Usually someone will tell me something about a character that they read about. One of my favorite stories about that is I had a neighbor walk up to me one day with a magazine. He says, "You write songs about history stuff." I go, "Yeah." He says, "Well, here, read the story." And it was a story about a fellow named Willie Boy, which there was a movie made in 1964 telling Willie Boy was here.
Right. Tell them Willie Boy was here.
With Robert Redford.
Robert Redford.
And Robert Blake.
Right.
And interesting story to read in this magazine, because it was a little different take from the movie. And as I began to research it, I found five distinct versions of the story, each calling the other a liar.
I actually have a book that was given to me that's about that story and how Hollywood got it so wrong.
Well, everybody has gotten it wrong.
Right.
because the politics of the day,
right.
the racism of the day, made for an interesting song. And that song will be on my next CD.
Is this the one you're guarding underneath your cover over there?
This is the one. This is the one.
He has the document with him.
Secretive booklet.
The secret booklet. What I do when I go to prepare a CD is I sort of publish about 15 copies, one for each of the people involved in the production, to let everybody know what we're doing. And I start off with the master copy and change everything as I go along. And so it's an ongoing process. And it's a lot like a storyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And serves a similar function.
How do ideas, because you travel too. You and Diane, your wife, is here in the studio tonight. And I know that you do some travel through the West, and that sometimes inspires you also.
Oh, yeah.
How do you keep track of the ideas?
Lots of files, lots of paper. what's neat is once in a while we find a place that is a song waiting to be written. Up in the Portland area, there's a museum called the End of Trail Museum. And they have docents there to take you through the experience of the Oregon Trail. And this place is built on the property, on the land that was the end of the trail. And as the wagon trains finished their trip, they'd come to this area and they would live there for 4 or 6 or 8 months to heal up before they went to try to find their land, find their own land and their own homes out there. And so there was just a ton of information that, and this is what I often find, is way more information than I have time to write about. You know, you can, there's an Hispanic style of music called a corrida. And it's a ballad style that will have 20 or 30 verses. And nobody wants to hear me sing for 20 verses.
I can't remember 6.
There you go. So I start writing. And then when I get to a point where the story is told, then I go back and figure out, do I need this much? Do I need to add more? What do I need to do with this? And so it gets to be a very structural thing.
Mm-hmm.
At
mm-hmm.
some point before the song is done. Then I have to play it about 100 times to kind of get the feel of what is this. And so and again, that's the discipline part, if you will, of the writing. You know, mm-hmm. so we take a trip and we go someplace and have a great time. And I make notes and make ideas. And I'll usually write 6 or 8 couplets to describe some aspect of what I'm
mm-hmm.
seeing,
mm-hmm.
and then go back to it later on because we've gone to see something else.
yeah. That museum's in Oregon City, isn't it?
Could be.
On the other side of the Willamette River?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I know is
I think I've been there.
We stayed up there for a week in a timeshare, and all I know is we drove west, and there it was.
They also have another one in the Dalles, which is about 80 miles down the road east.
That's what I had heard. And there's also one in Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
which is supposed to be phenomenal, but I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen Independence Rock yet, and I really want to see that. That's on my bucket list. That's the big rock that everybody's, when they're going through in the wagon trees, they went up and signed it.
Yeah.
I'd really love to see that in person. Yeah. I mean, seeing pictures, but.
Another one is Chimney Rock.
Chimney Rock, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's in Wyoming, isn't it?
I'm not sure where it is on the trail. All I know is it was a halfway mark with the trip, something like that.
Like a fallen away volcano, big thing just sticking up in the air.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Do you, we were talking a moment ago about the new project. Do you want to tell us anything more about the new project?
I certainly can.
We won't steal your secrets.
No.
When it's done, there won't be any secrets.
We have a phone call.
Oh, cool.
This is the Writer's Block. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Bruce Hennington.
Oh!
Well, hi.
Hey, Bruce.
Hi, Bruce. Hey, that's really cool.
Donna from San Diego.
Yes, you are.
And Bruce is also a songwriter. How cool that you're calling in tonight. Bruce, welcome.
Well, thank you. Well, I heard that John Bergstrom was going to be on, so I just wanted to call up and give him a hard time, you know.
Well, it was the truth, because he is sitting here looking at me. Well, not right now.
Oh,
he was.
Never mind.
I'm trying to avoid looking at him.
And thanks for the call.
Well, he gives you a hard time right back, so it's
thanks
okay.
for listening to the show, by the way.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, I wanted to compliment you on the show, and I just really hear good things about it, and it's getting stronger, and it's a wonderful thing for music and for Western music to have a show like yours to spotlight different things, you know, the artists and the songwriters. It's wonderful. So congratulations on a great show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, rumor has it that Bruce is going to be somewhere in the Newhall area before too very long.
Yes. In fact, you're right. Bruce leads the band Sidewinder. And they will be performing a week from tonight as part of the SCV TV Presents the Out West Concert Series, which is why I will not be here a week from tonight.
That's right.
I'll be with Bruce and Sidewinder.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. It's a great venue, and we're so happy that we're going to be involved in that series. It's really great.
Well, we're looking forward to having you. And I think, don't you have a song right now that's charting really well on the Western music radio?
Well, it's tied for fifth.
It's tied for fifth.
Jim Jones and I write quite a few songs together, and we have one that we did a couple years back that is actually the title of his great new CD, which is number one. And Jim Jones' song that he worked on and we worked on together is Race with the Wind, about rounding up wild ponies back in Texas on the King's Ranch, right off the King's Ranch back in really early days, 1840s.
Right, and Jim will be a guest with us October 1st,
right.
Calling in from
right.
New Mexico, so that'll be really fun.
Now, if you're tied for fifth, does that mean you're both tied for 2.5?
Well, no, he's more like 4 and I'm like 1, I think.
Right.
See, one thing I like about writing songs with Jim is people hear him,
Yeah, it's true.
They get out there and they hear him, so... And Jim always does a great job on them, too. So we've worked pretty well. We've had some nice songs that we've done together, I'm glad he's doing so well. I was really happy that he won the award last year for the Entertainer of the Year. He really deserved it.
Yeah.
And he's a super nice guy, yeah. He's a really great guy.
Right,
yeah.
Well...
Not like John and I, but he's the real deal.
John's a good guy. I mean... He brought his wife to the studio. I mean, that's not bad.
I'm going to write a new song called Obnoxious.
I see Diane is making a note of that.
If you need any help, give me a call. I can help you with that one.
Well, Bruce, if there wasn't an Out West concert series, Bobby would not be released. She could not get out of school.
Oh, really?
But we have to give her that time.
Oh, good.
But we always have a really great co-host that comes in and covers for her. A guy named Russ Avison. He does a wonderful job.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Bruce, thank you so much for calling. It was delightful to hear from you, and we'd love to hear the phone ring on the writer's block. Hey, Jim, what's that phone number to give out again?
That number, if you want to call, and as Bruce obviously did, the number is 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929.
If there's no answer, call back again.
If there's no answer, try it again.
So anyway, I do, not to take advantage of this, but I hope some people come out and hear us next week. We've reformed and we're doing some really good stuff, and we're doing something that John Bergstrom believes in strongly, and that's doing more songs about California, because we've had the richest history in California. I don't think any state can compare with us.
I don't think
there's so many good stories out there.
Well, we're looking.
I know John does a lot of songs about California, which is great.
And we are looking forward to that. That is the SCV TV Presents the Out West Concert Series with Sidewinder. It is a week from tonight, July 23rd. Tickets are available. You can call Out West at 661-255-7087, and we'll set you up.
Don't you love the plug?
I was counting on it.
Is that not why we're all here?
Absolutely.
Hey, Bruce, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
I look forward to seeing you next week.
See you next week.
And thanks for the kind words.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Okay.
We'll see you, John. Hopefully we'll see you next week.
Yeah, well, we're gonna catch part of it. I have a gig on the second and fourth Thursday of the month at a restaurant across town. But
cancel it.
That's what we told him.
Can't cancel again.
What we've started doing is catching the second half of shows.
But since we're talking about
great.
It, John.
Well, we'll save all of our good songs for the second half.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good,
great.
Good
well, take care.
Thanks for calling
in,
Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you very much. All right, bye.
But since we're doing plugs, why don't you go ahead and name the restaurant and where people can come hear you next
Thursday. Well, the restaurant
next Thursday.
Is La Toscana. It's an Italian restaurant in Valencia, near McBean and Turney. And my bookkeeper and life helper knows the address. 25858 Tournament.
There you go. And on your website, I'm sure. Your web address is?
www.johnbergstrom.net. John Bergstrom, all one word. JohnBergstrom. Raw.
You rock, John. Hey, look, one more time, we're being sponsored by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley and Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall, California. Again, the number is 818-602-4929. And now we're going to ask John to do a little live picking, if you wouldn't mind, John.
I can do that.
Okay, then.
We were talking about ghost towns and the Old West and about Tombstone a little while ago. I performed at the Tombstone Western Music Festival on 6 different occasions over through the years. And the first year I went out there, some friends of mine had said, well, you need a Tombstone song. And I said, I don't know one.
Write one.
There you go. In southeastern Arizona, there's a town that you all know, where the Earps and the Clantons shot it out long years ago. The miners and the gamblers and the outlaws can be found up on Boot Hill, underground. Tombstone, Tombstone, town too tough to die, Tombstone. Out in Apache country, Ed Shefflin could be found, prospecting for silver, digging in the ground. Friends all said, you're crazy, all you're gonna find is your tombstone. Tombstone, Tombstone, town too tough to die, Tombstone. Well, Ed found his silver, and he made his claim. The mine and the town bore the same name. Folks came from all over to get what they could. The whiskey flowed like water, so did the blood. Tombstone, Tombstone, town too tough to die, Tombstone. Now people come and wonder how it was back then to live that frontier life of those women and men, to wear the clothes they wore and walk through the time when the West was wild and in its prime. Tombstone, Tombstone, town too tough to die, Tombstone. Tombstone, Tombstone, town too tough to die, Tombstone. Tombstone.
Nicely done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's wonderful to hear live music in here.
Great tune.
Oh, thank you.
Great tune.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's one that it's one of my sing-along. See, if we had a gang of people here, you would all be going Tombstone.
Yes.
In response to me.
Well, we do have a gang.
Yeah. Well, you had your chance. you had your chance. And,
well, I turned off our microphone so we wouldn't make any noise while you were.
So you didn't hear us singing along. No. We actually were singing along.
I have when I'm doing a show. And people will start mouthing the words. I stop. I tell them,
say it. Yeah.
You're not. There's no mouthing of words here.
Sing.
Western music is participatory in nature. So sing out with gusto.
I have to ask you, when you're on stage, and I'm a musician. I played in a band for years and years and years, and we did a lot of live stuff, and I wrote the majority of the music for our band. It's called Sundown. And every time we would try a new song on stage, and you know, you got to go out there and try it, because if it doesn't work, it's never going back on the list again.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, you play a song for the first time, you guys have been practicing, rehearsing it, it sounds good to you, you get up on the stage, you sing it, and you stop, and it's dead silence. And all of a sudden you hear, and then pretty soon everybody loves it, and you know the song's a hit, and your heart just goes, yeah!
Or... dead silence.
Or then it stays dead silence.
And it stays dead silence. I wrote a song that about another character in the Tombstone area. I haven't done the song in 2 years, nor will I. But when I first performed it, it just was a giant lead balloon. And I don't know why, but, you know, I have a... There's a group of folks that are our regular audience twice a month at El Trocadero in Newhall, El Trocadero Steakhouse. And there's a group of us from the Western Music Association that will go there. And I use that audience as a sounding board. If I play a new tune and they like it, I keep playing it. I play a new tune and they go, huh?
Painfully look.
Yeah, that painful look. That we really liked you, John, but
that hurt.
Oh, my goodness. You know, but luckily I don't get a lot of that.
Yeah.
But when I do, I take it to heart, because something is missing in that particular composition. And like I said, you know, and these people are really nice, and most of the time they like what I do.
What do you like about performing?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because you're more than just a songwriter. You know,
yeah.
You take it live, and what?
The performing is the telling of the story.
Right.
It's not accidental that Frank Sinatra was a good actor.
That's true.
It's not accidental at all. It's not accidental. The number of people who have been really good musical performers, Prince, and they do well as actors, because when you're telling the story, when you're selling the song, it's you're acting the story out.
Sure,
you know it's. I taught school for over 30 years, and one of the things that I enjoyed about teaching history was telling the stories. And one of the things that, and I got pretty good at it, and I think the kids enjoyed my telling the stories, rather than open your book to page 427, answer the questions at the back of the chapter.
I hate that.
Gag a maggot. Mm-hmm. You know, and I never did that.
Yeah, I was a history major in college. Didn't teach. Couldn't stand kids.
That's kind of problematical. You don't like the kids. What's funny is everybody has a certain zone that they fit into.
Mm-hmm.
I have never ending admiration for successful middle school teachers.
Oh, they got the worst.
And the thing is that they have the kids at the best time to have them if you're good.
Yeah.
Because they're your friends for life if you get them. But everything is black and white for kids at that age. And then elementary teachers with 47 subjects, you know. So I learned early on that I was a high school guy. I fit the high school format. And so when I'm up performing, it's not all that different from being back in the classroom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get that.
We haven't asked the most critical question.
Feel free. It's your turn.
So, John, do you experience writer's block? And when you do, how do you handle it?
I smuddle around and do a little reading and do a little writing and smuddle some more.
That's a new word. I haven't heard that one yet.
That's a great word, smuddle. Love that.
Smuddle.
How do you spell that?
Well, is it two D's?
It'd be two D's, yes. Otherwise, it would be Smoodle.
No, that would be two O's and a D.
Do you work on, when you're working on a song, do you work kind of on more than one at a time? So if you get stuck with something, do you pick up something else, or do you just work that one through?
I know a lot of people who do that, what you just said. I don't.
Okay.
It's interesting when you talk to songwriters. I have found songwriters that start out with a chord progression.
Mm-hmm.
They come at it from the music.
Mm-hmm.
I come at it as a poet.
Okay.
I have done both.
So you come from lyric first.
I come from the lyric first, and sometimes my songs turn out to be poems, and vice versa. And some stories don't fit a song exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
At least in my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, somebody else might write the greatest song about it, but it doesn't happen always for me. And when I get in a block like that, I tend to write in flurries. You know, which gets really messy when you get the ice cream all over you. You know. Little McDonald's humor.
Smuddle.
Smuddle, yeah, there you go. But I tend to write in flurries. I'll write 2, 3, 4 songs in a relatively short period of time, and then I'll be brain dead for months.
Okay. Well, and then you're working those ones that you've written.
Yeah, but then I'm working all those that I've written. Right now I'm not doing a lot of new writing because I'm preparing to make a new CD. And what I'm doing is working on arrangements, working on some of the tunes. I need to put them onto manuscript paper with real notes, and all that good stuff to get the arrangement like I want it. And so all that just takes time.
And you do all your own arranging?
Yeah. I take suggestions though from people all the time.
Yeah, but never give up that creative control.
Not if I can avoid it.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'll put it this way: I'm writing the check.
Yeah.
Hey, how about a little In the West?
Sure.
All righty. This is Mr. John Bergstrom.
Got up this morning, looked out through the trees. Life was a-stirring in the early breeze. I made a pot of coffee, finished dressing in the dark. My old dog heard me moving. Just had to bark. It's another day in the West. From the Gulf Coast of Texas to the Cascade Mountain crest. Across the Southwest deserts and the lands where eagles nest. It's good to be living in the West.
And that was John Bergstrom and In the West. And this is the Writer's Block. And if you're just joining us, we're almost off the air. So, but thanks for coming in anyway.
You can hear it as a podcast in just, you know, a few minutes.
5 minutes after we're off the air, the whole thing plays again.
Very cool. I can listen to.
Yeah, these folks here at LA Talk Radio are just absolutely phenomenal.
I listened to it the whole time I put together the pictures from
did
the
you?
Night. Yeah, when I get home. And then I put together whatever pictures we took tonight, and I posted on Facebook, and I listened to the show the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's live. I mean, it's here.
I know.
It's available to listen right away.
Yeah, we're living it, and then we get to hear it.
There you go. I wanted to mention one special thing that happened to me this week very quickly.
Okay.
I'm a subscriber to a service called Reverb Nation, which serves independent artists, and they get opportunities out there that you can audition for, send in for, apply for. And they also rank performers in various genres. I'm listed as an Americana performer. And this week I came in as the number 2 Americana performer in my area.
Wow.
Which was kind of neat, you know, so it was kind of a special thing to get. I've been in the top 10 for a while. But this is the highest I've been, so that was kind of
But number two?
Number two.
Boy, that'll make your chest thump.
get you know, I'm like a car rental service. I try hard.
And we all want to know what we need to do at Reverb Nation to make him number one.
Yeah.
Like, do we need to vote?
Well,
I don't know.
What do we have to do?
Yeah. I'm not quite clear on that yet. I know what they do is they keep track of the number of people who subscribe to be a fan of. And they keep track of people who are listening to my music on Reverb Nation. So there's stuff that happens there, and it's really kind of a neat thing.
Fan participation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So it's just kind of neat.
Why don't you give us all your info again, your website and your Facebook and your email?
Okay. My Facebook is real simple. It's just John Bergstrom. I'm on YouTube also. You go to John Bergstrom. If you go to John Bergstrom on YouTube, you're going to find an engineer in Stockholm and a cowboy singer. I'm the cowboy singer. So just don't get confused.
Yeah, sure. You're not an engineer.
Yeah. Trust me. Anyway, you sound like my grandfather.
Yeah, Wally.
And my email is WSOM music. It's two M's together there. WSOM music at AOL.com. If you're interested in having me come out and perform for a house concert, for a special event, that's the best way to get hold of me. My website, www.johnbergstrom.net, johnbergstrom, leave out the raw, .net.
.net, yeah.
And there's a link on there to Out West, and there's a link on there to email me.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, and I have my calendar on there, so I work to keep that up.
And this Sunday, you will be?
At the Autry National Center.
Oh, wow.
The third Sunday of each month, the Western Music Association California chapters, in cooperation with the Autry National Center, sponsors a showcase session from noon till 3. It's free with the admission to the museum. And we usually get, over the course of the 3 hours, a couple hundred people coming through. And we're open to new musicians coming in. The main stipulation is we try to stay with the West, so it's not a rock concert, and it's all acoustic, no amplification. But it's just a neat venue. It's in the Heritage
Court.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Heritage Court.
In the Heritage Court, in Autry National Center. And if you haven't been to the Autry National Center, what the heck are you thinking?
And right now they have a great exhibit on the Civil War. I'm very anxious to get down Sunday for the showcase as well as to see that exhibit.
It's neat stuff, and the it's right across the road from the LA Zoo.
Yeah.
In Griffith Park. So everybody in Southern California, you need to get out there to the Autry National Center on a third Sunday, listen to the Western music, and there's some really good performers that show up there. It's always interesting because we never know who all is going to show up. Once in a while, I've been there and we've had three performers. And thank goodness that's not too often.
God, what happens if you're the only one who shows up?
John can handle it.
I do for 3 hours.
I do 3 hours.
John can handle it.
I've got five CDs, man. I can handle that. But I'm not sure the audience could, but no, it would be. We've had small groups. We've had 15, 16, up to 20 performers on other occasions. So you never know what you're going to get, and that's a lot of the fun of it, is just seeing, you know. And then every once in a while we'll get some little kid that will come and do some just neat stuff.
Yep.
And so it's all good.
And you're. At your concert series
next week.
At
the concert series, right, a week from tonight. And next week we have Ed Ertelak here as our guest with Russ stepping in. And then on the 30th, Henry Park, our first blogger, will be with us.
Yeah, it's going to be fun with
Henry.
We
love, love, love Henry. He writes Henry's Western Roundup, so we'll be catching up with what's going on in the blogging world.
And he gave us a really nice write-up on
his
blog. Oh,
he did a wonderful, wonderful write-up. And that'll complete July.
Yeah, and then, I mean, we've said this before. We're booked through the end of this year.
Right through the end of the year.
That's a great thing.
It is a good thing.
Now, I'm going to be in Porterville, with Jency Brown and Jerry Hall and Trick Shot for the Day of the Cowboy,
mm-hmm.
National Day of the Cowboy in Porterville, California on the 25th.
Okay. Right,
National Day, last Saturday of the month.
August 1st, we're going to be at Butler's Coffee in Palmdale.
Butler's Coffee in Palmdale.
It's a neat little venue up there right near the mall. And on the 18th, Jency and I are playing for the Senior Center in Santa Clarita for a special event for them. So it we try to have something going always.
Well, just keeps you from falling over.
Pretty much. And I want to thank you guys for having me.
It's great having you, John. It was wonderful having you here. And we're running out of time, but I'd just like to say thanks for showing up. Thanks for being here with us. Thanks for the live music. Bobby, always a pleasure. We'll miss you next week, as usual. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful week. And we're going to take you out with let's do a writer's block.
There you go.
Okay, we're just going to take you out with the writer's block.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell right here on LA Talk Radio.